Well, when my name is called, I want to be able to go in victory, don't you?
Amen.
There are two certainties in life, and that is, maybe a few more than that, but here's the two I'm going to mention. Your name will be called, and there will only be two places that will go. And when my name is called, I want to be able to meet the Lord in peace. That means more to me than anything else in this life is to live for that day that the Lord calls my name and for me to be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." There are no sweeter words that I can imagine hearing except for those. And I am aware that today Jonathan mentioned that there is an open assault in the world today, it seems. There's an open assault on holiness and righteousness. It seems like that there is a spirit that has been let loose in the world, even more so, I don't know, even in my own life, it seems like the last 5 years, I've noticed a change. And I don't think it's just that I'm getting older and wiser. I think it's real. There is a spirit of the enemy that is being let loose. And it seems like that the norms of morality are trying to be redefined by the spirit of this world. And if we are not very careful, if we don't guard our hearts, we can get caught up in this and we can become influenced and moved to the side. There's a scripture that says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." And my burden this morning is that we would guard our heart, guard it diligently. I'd like to start in the 16th chapter of Judges this morning. This is a familiar story, and I'm going to start well into the story. This is the story of Samson, and we'll start in the 4th verse. And again, there was a lot that happened with Samson before we got to this point. If you remember, in the beginning, when we started learning about Samson, he went down to get somebody from a daughter of the Philistines, and you remember his dad said, "Why do you need to go down there and get somebody from there?" And you know all the trouble that happened with that relationship, and it went to naught. And now we find that in the 4th verse of the 16th chapter, that's where we'll pick up. It said, "It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. She fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Now listen. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came upon her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. And listen to what he said. I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know that the Lord's Spirit had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. They took his vision away from him and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. That's quite a story, isn't it? Quite a story, and there's an end to the story. If there's any little bit of satisfaction, I always tried to get a little satisfaction. I remember as a young boy listening to this story, and you just get so frustrated. You feel like here's a great, big, strong man, and you read the story, and you think you should have known better. You know what's coming, and you wish you could fast forward and delete what he did, and the only little satisfaction you get is he gets his strength at the end. But it was a tragedy. It's a tragic story. Samson, a man of strength, died before his time, blinded, had his strength taken from him in a completely avoidable manner. And the message that I want to leave with all of us this morning is that we closely guard your heart, guard your spiritual strength, guard the spiritual vision that you have, guard the spiritual discernment that God has given us and given you, because the Scripture tells us in Timothy, I believe the 5th chapter, that the enemy, the devil is an enemy, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Do you believe it? Do you believe that this morning? I do. I believe that it's true. I believe that there is a spirit in the world today that is after my soul. There is a spirit that is working, that if I don't maintain guard of my soul, if I don't maintain proper perspective of this life and the life after, if I don't maintain proper perspective of those things that I am drawn to and that I am attracted to, I am convinced that that spirit that is in the world that is working, it will find me. It has already found me. The Spirit knows who I am. It knows the sins that doth so easily beset me. And I can be taken from those things. And that spirit will lead me to the same tragic death that Samson found. I don't want to be found there. And I believe that if Samson would have known, if he would have been able to truly see, and he could have. But if somebody would have come to him and said, Samson, I just want to let you know here, that if you continue to follow this path, and that he was truly able to get a vision. And I want to say, the vision is available for us. He didn't get it. But if you had known, Samson, if you continue to go down this path you're going down, you're going to lose your vision. Your eyesight, your vision, it's going to be taken from you. You're not going to be able to see. Your strength is going to be taken from you. You're going to die a tragic death. This woman that you're giving yourself to, and it doesn't have to be a woman. It can be whatever the affection is. This thing that you have allowed yourself to be enticed with. That very thing that you are attracted to is the very thing that will work against you in your life. And it is going to be the means of your death. If Samson would have known that, and he should have known it, the handwriting was on the wall. How many times did it take? How many times did it take for her to do what she did? He had been warned before he ever went down there. But he did it. He did it anyway. And I feel like that because he was taken with the attraction of his flesh, and it seemed, listen, it seemed like he was getting by with it. It seemed like he was able to manage flirting with the edges. Why do I know that? Because how many times did Delilah try to take his strength from him? And it seemed like he could just tell her stuff and she'd believe it. And then he'd still have his strength and he'd break away and he was good. And he could still have Delilah. He could still play a little game with her. Everything was fine. He was in control. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever heard that from other people? Have you ever seen that at work? People feel like they're in control. They feel like, well, I know just how far to go. I can hold on. I know what line not to cross. Yes, I'm flirting with the edges here. Yes, I'm going down a road that my father warned me against. His father warned him against going down there and intermingling and becoming part of the Philistine group. He was warned, and he felt like, hey, I've done it, and I still have my strength. That's the other thing that strikes me about this, is that he went against what he was taught. And I believe Kathy and I were talking about this the other day. People go against what they've been taught, and you know what they find? They find they can do it. They find that, hey, I was told not to do this. I've been taught all my life, and for years, I've maybe grudgingly acquiesced and gone along with it, but I finally got to the point I decided I'm going to do it my way, and they step out into something they've been totally taught against for so long, and you know what they find out? They can do it. They find out, hey, I did it. I did what I was taught. It doesn't seem so bad. And I can still testify. I can still say I'm saved. I still have my strength. Isn't that what Samson did? He had his strength that God gave him. But he went against the counsel. He went against what he was taught. He began to flirt with that was contrary to what God had brought. And he felt like, hey, I still have the Spirit of God in me. I still have strength. Well, I'm still able to do work for the Lord. It seemed like he was able to get away with it. It seemed like all was going according to a plan where he could kind of get the best of both, right? He could have the Spirit of God, he could be strong, and he could have what he wanted. But it didn't work. Listen to what it said. And this story repeats itself over and over and over again. This story repeats itself in life. This story repeats itself among God's people. This story repeats itself among us. People that have grown up and have known. Children that have been taught. Why? Why does this story repeat itself? Listen to what it says. And the lords of the Philistines came unto Delilah, and they said unto her. They were wise. What'd they say? What'd they tell her to do? What'd it say? entice him. They came to Delilah, the one that was supposed to be in love with Samson? The one that was supposed to be that was supposed to satisfy him and make him happy? And she was in cahoots with the very enemy of Samson's soul and his life. And they said, entice him. Entice him. Do some things. Do some things to make it look good to Samson. Make it attractive. Make it look like it's meant to be. Make him comfortable. Draw him out. Weaken him. Entice him. Draw him in. What did James say? In the first chapter of James, and the 14th verse. Every man, this includes you, and it includes me, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of somebody else's lust?
His own.
His own. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And what? Enticed. Drawn away of his own lust. And enticed. Drawn. Attracted to. Enticed. There's something there that I am trying to entice. Draw something else in. Trying to entice and bring it to a plan. An end, if you will. They enticed him. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. The Lord, or the enemy, doesn't tempt me with the things that Kathy might be drawn to. He tempts me with the things that I'm drawn to. Entices me. See? And it said, when lust is conceived. What does that mean? When lust is conceived, it means when I stay right there among it. When I realize I'm being tempted. When I realize I'm in the middle of something that where I'm flirting with the edges and where I see danger and where I see it's contrary, but I stay there. I let it conceive. It says it brings forth death, or brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Isn't that what happened to Samson? He was tempted to go down and be with something that looked more attractive than what he could have found somewhere else. And then he was enticed. And listen to what it says. It said, entice him to see by what means we may get him. By what means? A customized enticement. Customized, just for Samson. Entice him. Tempt him. Work with him to find out where he's weak so that we can know how to get to him. You think this only happens to Samson? This happens to us. The enemy is doing everything he can to do the same thing to us. Why does the Scripture say, lay aside even the weights that doth so easily beset us? Why? Because weights can turn into sin. Why do we hold things that we hold? This is another message. So I won't get into this too deeply. But people are so caught up with, well, is it sin or is it not sin? Because if it's not a sin, then I don't want to have to be bound to it. Well, you know, y'all teach this, you have standards of you say protection and standards of holiness, but is it sin? Because if it's not sin, well then why do I really, you know, I want to know whether it's sin so that I can be free to do these other things. Well, it wasn't a sin for Samson to walk down the road, and maybe it wasn't technically sin for him to hook up with Delilah. The Spirit of God was still with him, but he put himself in a place that over time, with pressing and with urging, it gave way to sin. And so as people who are earnestly contending for the prize, earnestly contending, as a people who are giving the more earnest heed, may God help us to look at the activities and actions of our life and say, Lord, I don't want to stay in the midst of a place of temptation The scripture says, flee temptation. Why? Because if you don't flee temptation, then that lust begins to conceive. See? It begins to grow. And so people say, well, the temptation's not sin. Well, it's not wrong for me to be in this place. God has grace for me. And yet you and most other people know it's a place of temptation. And if you stay there, then the very thing that's causing you to be tempted begins to conceive. It begins to grow. You give yourself to it. And pretty soon, you're enticed. Pretty soon, it gives way to sin. And the end of sin is death. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. The 16th verse said, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. Pressed him daily and urged him. He wouldn't have been pressed daily. And he would not have been urged daily if he would have taken himself out of that place. If he would have removed himself. How many times would it take you if you were with somebody that you thought loved you and said, oh, Samson, I love you, and tell me the source of your strength. And then you turn around and find that your very enemies come out of the closets to kill you? And you're the one you thought loved you gave you away? How many times over and over and over again would you allow that to happen before you finally came to the conclusion, I don't think she has my best interest at heart. I don't think she loves me. She just tried to kill me. I think that if my wife tried to kill me, and she tried to entice me to tell her something that gave away a secret that she then turned and gave to my enemies and they came out of my own house to kill me, I think I might be staying the night somewhere else the next night. I wouldn't want to lose my life. You think this is not it? We need to change this situation before we continue on. But what did Samson do? He stayed right there. He thought he was in control. I've got control of this. I'm strong. Hey, I've got it all wrapped up and taken care of. And that is a lie the enemy feeds to us over and over and all the time. You got it. You're strong. You'll be all right. You can go against what you've been taught. You can go against, you know, real holiness. You can give a little. You know what the Lord really wants from you. It's the heart after all. And He just works and entices and pulls and continually tries to convince us that we're strong and in control. Until one day, it said, after it came to pass when she pressed him daily and urged him. Finally, he got tired of it. He got tired of it. And don't forget this. He got used to always having the strength that he needed to get out of it. He had never been in a situation where he didn't have the strength. Don't lose that point of this. All through this time, before he gave her his secret, he had always seemed to manage to be okay. And then, after being pressed and urged, he gave away that kept the Spirit of God living in his life. Did you know that you are being pressed daily? The enemy is pressing us. He's urging us. He's trying to work on us. And when we recognize that we're being enticed and tempted, and there's things that's pulling on us, may God help us to guard our heart. Remove ourselves. Flee from that temptation. Don't just say, well, is this thing sin, what I'm doing? Go further than that. That's the way many people reach their death, is because they're so focused on, well, can I get by with this? Can somebody pin this down on me with scripture and verse and tell me it's sin? That is just the enemy just drawing you along, just getting you closer and closer to the bank, telling you you're still in the water. You still got water, you still got oxygen to bleed, everything's still okay, and he just gets pulling us in closer and closer, shallower and shallower water, until all of a sudden the unexpected happens and a net comes in and picks us up, and there we are. Well, wait a minute. How did this happen? How did I get in the net? I was just in the water. I thought I was okay. Yeah, maybe I was in a little shallower water than what I was taught, but I thought everything was going to be okay. There's no sin to be in shallow water. No, but you are making yourself vulnerable. You're not guarding your heart. You hang out in shallow places with the Lord. If that's where you hang out, if you're always trying to be out there on the edge and see what we can get by with and still be saved, you're hanging out in a place that's dangerous. It's what Samson was doing. He hung out there, and pretty soon it said that after all of this urging, he told her all of his heart, and he told her the truth. Over time, he lost his way, he lost his strength, and so will it be with us if we go down this path. And I'm going to just say it out. You know what most people think when they sit out there? Because I sit out there a lot of times too. It's really easy to sit out there in the pews and think, oh, that's a pretty good message. You know, that's a good truth. That's right. But it won't happen to me. I'm where I need to be. See? That's I don't know, it's human nature combined with the spirit that's working against us. We too often feel like it won't apply to me. I'm exempt from it. I'm in control. I'm making the right decisions. It's why Paul said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. Earnestly contend. Don't just contend. Earnestly contend. Remove yourself from the places of temptation that's not necessary to be in. Get out of there. Why do we dwell in places of temptation? Why do we do that? And it's because we're drawn to it and we're enticed and we try to find that fine line where I'm still saved without going over the edge and sinning. But we want to hang out in those places because it's attractive to the flesh. It was attractive to Samson. And it meant his death. That's what happened. The Spirit of the Lord ended up leaving him. Now listen to what happened. She made him sleep. So she found his secret, and then she caused him, she lulled him to go to sleep. Samson, why would you go to sleep after all of these things that just happened? She just tried to take your life. How many times? When you were sleeping and now you told her the real secret and you went to sleep again? Talk about a false sense of security or just total lack of discernment and wisdom and vision that is just going out the window. But she got him to go to sleep again, closed his eyes, blind to what was going on, didn't see what was happening again. And so they came in and they got him. And this struck me too. It said that then he went, when he woke up, he still thought he was strong. He still thought he could do what he always did. And it said he didn't know that the Spirit of God had left him. That gives me pause. He got in a place because he was not earnestly contending. He wasn't paying attention like he should have. He wasn't guarding his heart like he should have. And he got in the place where the Spirit of the Lord left him, and he didn't even realize that the Spirit of the Lord had gone out of him. Again, wisdom cries in the streets. It happens all around us. And it's like we look, we see, there's examples over and over that back up what we've been taught, what the Scriptures teach, and we somehow think that we're going to be exempt. And they took him and they put out his eyes. Took his eyes out, took his vision, took his strength. Now he can't see. The enemy's out to take our spiritual vision. He's out to get us in a place where he can rob us and steal and take and destroy our spiritual vision so that we don't see clearly anymore. Saints, there's a song that says, ever keep heaven in view. Are you keeping heaven in view always? Ever? Always? Are you keeping it always before you so that the decisions that you make, that it's always in terms of, well, okay, heaven is right there and I'm going to heaven and now I'm being drawn over here. Well, I can't go over there because heaven's ahead of me. Are you keeping heaven ahead of you? Every man press, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. You know, you're not pressing against it if you're not going towards it. If you go away from it, if you go to the side of it, it won't work. The kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth into it. Are you pressing today? Really? Are we pressing? Are we guarding our heart with all diligence? I thought about the counsel of the ungodly. I want to read that verse in Psalms, the first chapter. You remember what that said in Psalms 1 and 1? It said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Do you notice the progression? Have you ever noticed that before? It's walketh not. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he goes from walking to standing, and from standing to sitting. There's a progression. And that is the way that many times we can lose our way. A little bit here, a little bit there, steal away a little bit here. The enemy gets us to start paying a little bit of attention to the counsel of the ungodly, and we start walking that way a little bit, and we get comfortable with that, and pretty soon we find ourselves standing right in the midst of it. And we're right in there, standing. Now we're not walking, we're standing in it. Continually telling ourselves, you've got everything in control. We get comfortable standing in it, and pretty soon we're sitting in it. We're just right there sitting in it. Now it's just part of us and we're part of it, and yet we still sometimes feel like we have the strength and the Spirit of the Lord in us. Not knowing that when we didn't resist the temptation, when we didn't remove ourselves from those situations that entice us, not realizing that the Spirit of God left us when we didn't remove ourselves from it. That gives me pause. This is real, folks. This isn't just good philosophy. It's not just, well, yeah, the Bible teaches it, but you know, this is real. Our lives are dependent on how we handle these situations, on what we give our heart to. It's why Paul said in Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, pray without ceasing. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't get involved with things that the Spirit can't abide in. Don't quench the Spirit. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to it. And he went even further and said, and abstain from even the appearance of evil. Don't even start to go there. People say, well, it's my heart. No, Paul took it a step further. The Word of the Lord says, don't even go to where evil is, the appearance is of it there. Because it can affect you. It affects your light to other people. It affects their souls. Paul said in the 12th chapter of Romans, fervent in spirit. So this morning, are you fervent in spirit? Do you quench not the Spirit? Do you abstain from even the appearance of evil? Do you pray without ceasing? Do you ever keep heaven in view? Are you pressing into the kingdom? Does that define your life today? I want it to define my life like that. I want that to define my life because my life depends on it. The enemy doesn't often come and invite us to just sit down with the wicked. That's not usually what he does. I don't get up in the morning having never walked in the counsel of it, say, Rob, why don't you just go camp out and go sit over there? That's not what he does. He gets me comfortable, letting my guard down. Still feel strong. I still feel like I have a knowledge of the truth. And then little by little, little by little, and when darkness descends, so often it comes over us, and by that time we've grown so accustomed to the gradual change of light that all of a sudden you look around and you think you're still walking in light and you're in darkness. And the Spirit of God has left you. And so you don't recognize it as darkness. There was a message preached at Monarch about when the Lord returned, would He find faith on the earth? Would He find the faith that He left? Do you have the faith that Jesus brought? Are you living in a manner that Jesus taught, or has it been customized? Have you found yourself going down a road out into the camp of the Philistines and starting to walk and stand and sit where they dwell and becoming comfortable with it? Did you know that's how we'll lose our eyesight? That's how we'll lose our strength? That's where the Spirit of the Lord will leave us? And it was only too late that Samson realized, I don't have my strength anymore. And his eyes were put out. I want to be diligent. I want to guard my heart. I want to guard the discernment that God has given me. I want to guard the strength that He gives me to live for Him. I want to be careful with what carefulness ought we to walk. Are you walking careful today? Is your prayer life up to date? Are you avoiding those things that doth so easily beset you? Are you taking the more earnest heed? I know it's a message of challenge this morning. I don't have anybody in mind this morning, myself, high up on the list, because I see what's happening around us. And I see examples where children begin to drop the standards. I want to say this before I sit down. Children can get caught up with the world, and they can begin to drop and go their own way and walk and stand and sit with the ungodly. And in turn, begin to press and to urge their parents over time. And make the parents start, you start becoming comfortable with it. And you see it and you start questioning, is this really wrong? I really love them. And well, I think their heart. And then over time, we can become moved. I've seen it happen. And you watch that progression. And pretty soon, I've seen it come full circle. Where the parents said, if I'd have known this is where it was going to go, I'd have never gone. If I would have known what was going to happen, that they see their children, their grandchildren, lost, blinded, eyes darkened, and if something doesn't change, death ahead of them. Let's be challenged. This Spirit is real, is powerful. We must guard our hearts by the grace and strength of God. Let's give Him our hearts and guard it fiercely. Pray for me, I want to be true.
Amen.